Eagles and Chiefs in the Super Bowl that everybody wanted. I'm Adam Wright. You're listening to a Fumblerooski podcast special.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumblerooski podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros and Chris Kostich, and we are on for our fifth annual Super Bowl special. I can't believe it's been this long that we've been around and have been doing these specials, but they've been fun every single time. And joining us to cover our Super Bowl 59 special, we have Mike Wartenby of the Squawking Eagles podcast. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's great to be back again. You know, I said I'd come back if the Eagles are in the Super Bowl, and here I am. Eagles are in the Super Bowl. So thanks for having me again.
Hell yeah.
Nice. This is a Super Bowl that's it's going to be interesting to cover because literally this same exact matchup happened 2 years ago. Yeah. And it's going to be interesting giving our game picks because a lot of the main core from both sides is still there. Now a few things have changed. The Chiefs have lost some pieces. Their offensive style has changed a lot. The Eagles got a little better in a lot of different ways. Their secondary is certainly a little better than it was 2 years ago. And younger as well. Their defense has gotten much younger over the years. And they also, their running game, much, much better, adding Saquon Barkley to a run-first offense. And Saquon is thriving. Who knew? But yeah, without further ado, we're going to start things off. And before we get into our Super Bowl coverage, we're going to get into, want to do favorite Super Bowl memories. So from past Super Bowls, we'll start with you, CJ. We'll go around the table, and we'll go back to me. Favorite Super Bowl memory. Take us down memory lane.
All right. Well, as a biased Pats fan, I remember back when I was a children, I was a freshman in high school, you know, in enemy territory. No offense, Mike. Yeah, I grew up in Delaware with the Eagles people harassing me every day. And that is not an exaggeration. No. And I will remember everyone's like, oh, my God, the Falcons are so good. You're going to lose. I'm watching the game. And I'm just like, oh, my God, this is awful. We're down 28-3. Then they score, you know, and in the middle of the fourth quarter, it's like, don't want to get my hopes up, but it's doable. It's a two-score game. And then by the time it's OOT, you know, it's 28-28. And I'm like, all right, no. We're winning this. Like, Falcons have, like, no momentum. And then I saw, you know, I'm jumping up and down, running around and stuff. Like, my dad even just brought a confetti blaster, like, just to get one of those things where you twist and it fires out. Oh, my God, that was great. That was just wonderful. I was happy. Of course, our cat was like, what in the hell are you people doing? But, you know, it was very funny. I that was probably my favorite, like, memory as far as that goes. The game wise, like, and he's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl. Brady has his fifth. That lives in my head rent-free. And as far as technically not a Patriots memory, I mean, it's about New England, but I also went to the Super Bowl 53 of Victory Parade, which, you know, was like their final one. That was nice. You know, we got there nice and early. We, you know, we're there in the front. I still have, like, all the pictures from it. You know, I got Tom Brady to look directly at me. That was cool. Hightower pointed at me. So that was fun. I enjoyed that.
CJ, we've probably already been over this, but I was at that Super Bowl parade.
Yeah. Well, the Fumble was at, people, it's actually called, but
yeah, I was on the, I was at the Boston Common for that one. And I also got myself front row and, geez, what I remember from that day is that was like an unnormally warm day. It was like 50 degrees, sunny. Mm-hmm. And it's funny too, because the Sox had won that season as well. And the parade for the Sox, cold and rainy in like late October, early November. So it was kind of funny how kind of flipped for the Patriots. But yeah, I would say that, coupled with Super Bowl 51. I would say Super Bowl 53 is probably one of my favorites because it was satisfying, right? It was one of the more satisfying victories, in my opinion, because you just went to war with the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. And basically that entire season, everyone was just saying the Patriots dynasty was over. And then they just barely, ever so barely, just got the job done. Gronk ends up retiring the next year. All around, probably one of my more favorite games. One of my more favorite seasons in general. Sticks out to me a lot.
You guys have a plethora of Super Bowls to pick from, being Patriots fans. I don't have that large pool to take from, but I remember the Eagles' first, I guess the Eagles' second Super Bowl, when they were against the Patriots in Jacksonville. It was a good memory that, you know, T.O. was coming back after 7 weeks after breaking his leg, and I thought the Eagles were going to win that game. You know, they had a lot of, you know, they had a lot of talent. They finally got over that edge. They finally made it to the Super Bowl after all the NFC Championship losses, and, you know, they did not win that game.
It's so, too bad McNabb is puking on his teammate's shoes.
Too bad McNabb's, you know, that's, he has a thing with shoes. He throws the ball into the ground. He throws the ball at people's shoes. He's got a thing with shoes. What can I say?
Yeah. Oh, Mike, we got to tell you, I don't know if CJRD did, but we got to tell you the all-time draft that we did from Tuesday.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I guess the Super Bowl memory I have is the fact that the Eagles won their first Super Bowl in 2017 against the New England Patriots. The Philly special lives in my mind. I'm watching it with my kids. My kids are all excited. Eagles have never won a Super Bowl my whole life. My dad, you know, at that time hadn't seen an Eagles championship since 1960. And so for them to win a Super Bowl for the city and for those fans, that was a really good memory for me. And I won't ever forget that first Super Bowl.
I'm surprised you didn't pick the Philly special. I really thought you were going to pick it. And I'm like, man, we have to.
It was a great play, but it wasn't most special. It was just the whole game itself was the special win. You know, that was the special win. It wasn't just that one play.
I still have no idea how Nick Foles was able to just sell his soul to the devil, to channel his inner Peyton Manning and just rip through every team in the postseason.
He had a three-game run. That's all that matters. That's all he needed.
Yeah.
Outplayed Tom Brady, who threw for the most passing yards in Super Bowl history that game
still,
as well.
And still win, yeah.
Yeah.
Brady. I still think Brady outplayed him. Well, we'll get into that.
Yeah, but, you know.
I'm glad that we're on Super Bowl 52 because I want to start with that on my favorite Super Bowl memory. You have to start at Super Bowl 52 to talk about Super Bowl 53, which was the most satisfying Super Bowl that I ever witnessed. I know, Chris, you brought that up. That was a heartbreaking loss, and I was too young to experience 2007, where they went 16-0, made it all the way to the Super Bowl and lost to Eli Manning's Giants. I was too young to really experience any of it. I was just 7 years old at the time. Actually, eight, because technically the Super Bowl happens at 8 years
right.
old.
Right.
But they lost that one in spite of Tom Brady having arguably his best Super Bowl performance that he's ever had. Over 500 yards. He broke his own Super Bowl record from the season prior, which was the most ever in a single Super Bowl. 505 yards, three touchdowns, no picks. And that one, I just remember that one fumble vividly because I was watching that drive thinking back to 2016, that game-winning drive. I was thinking back to 2014. You could just feel that it was going to happen in both of those ones because it just the momentum was trending that way. That's how it felt right before that fumble. It's that this is all just meant to be. They're going to get that sixth Super Bowl and – maybe they don't. Maybe they win another Super Bowl down the road. Maybe they don't. But that's okay. He won his sixth. It would have been a poetic ending. And then I remember that fumble. And I was just thinking to myself, this is not so, supposed to be how it ends. This it shouldn't have ended this way. And I just knew how teams who lose the Super Bowl end up going the very next year. It almost never happens. Teams who lose the Super Bowl never go back and win. They barely ever go back, let alone go back and win. It's only happened twice before the Patriots had done it. And then they had a down year. And then you had this new kid on the block, Patrick Mahomes, in our own conference, paired up with Andy Reid, one of the better coaches in the game, and also had Tyreek Hill in his prime, Travis Kelce in his prime. The Patriots were having a semi-down year, and it just felt like a passing of the torch. It felt like the end. The Eagles' Super Bowl 52 win over the Patriots felt like the beginning of the end of that dynasty. And then you get into the playoffs, and they won that Chargers game. And I remember, I was at that game. I got tickets for my birthday. And I remember just listening to Tom Brady's interview right after the game, post-game, in the car on my way home. And he was saying, you know, I know everybody thinks we suck and we can't win any games, so we'll see. They were going into Kansas City. They hadn't been – that team – that portion of the dynasty had not been good on the road in the playoffs. They had not been very good. They've been beaten around by Denver. They lost to the Ravens a couple of times in the postseason. They were not very they were a little choky on the road.
Their only road win was the only road wins that they had was back in the 2000s.
Right. The Chargers and the Steelers. The underdogs. It was the beginning. This felt like the beginning of the end. And that AFC championship was fantastic. Back and forth action. The Patriots stepped on their throat early in the game. And then Mahomes worked his magic to get back into the game. Goes to overtime. That was the best playoff game I've ever seen. So to look at that Super Bowl itself, everyone talks about how boring that Super Bowl was. And I agree. That was a terrible Super Bowl once you got in there to face the Rams. The reason I still believe that's my favorite memory is because it wasn't the game. It was that one throw to Rob Gronkowski in triple coverage, dropped a dime right before the end zone. And they were able to, I believe it was one play later, run it in with Sony Michel. They eventually take a two-possession lead. It was a rock fight. It was a defensive game where there really was no offense at all. But that was, without a doubt, they delayed the end of that dynasty for just one season off sheer willpower. That was not the most talented Patriots team of all time. Not even close. Maybe the most not talented Patriots team. But they still somehow managed, just by sheer will, to delay the end of that dynasty, to fight off the next guy. For just one season. That's something that's special to me, and I'm gonna remember it for a long time. So there's my favorite Super Bowl memory. I was gonna every single year I pick Super Bowl 49 because that one was like the first one where I was legitimately all in, like obsessed with football. But this one is definitely I needed to change gears here. But
yeah, Super Bowl 49 was like, I mean, for like me, Adam, CJ, like Pats fans of our generation, like some of us didn't actually experience the first three, like truly experience the first three Super Bowls. Like I was only four when they beat the Eagles in Jacksonville. So like the only real memory I have of it is on VHS.
Like a Cowboys fan.
Exactly.
That's only the Cowboys can do it.
So. Only a Cowboys fan, just less depressing.
Right.
But like I remember 07, but like 2011 came around and that hit me like a truck. It, like 11-year-old me's throwing freaking like couch pillows around, like just pissed off that we had lost to the Giants again. And at that point, I was like, is this my life now? Is this my life? Like, I'm just going to watch the Patriots just continuously go back to the Super Bowl and be like the fucking Bills.
Right.
But thankfully, like 2014, like they actually seeing the Jermaine Curse catch. And I was like, Jesus Christ, it's going to fucking happen again. What the fuck? Like, and I'm over at my buddy's house too. Me and my family was over at my buddy's house. And at that point, we were having a bad, like, bad run of games, especially Pats games, where if we went to, like, my friend's house, just anyone's house but my house, then the Pats were losing. And that happened a string of way too many games. And we took another chance at it. And the Jermaine Curse catch happens. Marshawn Lynch gets it to the 1 yard line. I was like, yeah, I'm never going to anyone's house ever again. This sucks. And then Malcolm Butler makes the play. I was like,
just run the ball. Run the ball. Run the ball. What are you doing passing? Run the ball.
The quickest flip of emotions I've ever had in my life.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine that. Yeah.
I didn't even believe that he even picked it off to begin with. I thought my buddy was just fucking with me.
Right.
He was like, he's like jumping at the TV. He's like, he picked it off. I'm like, shut the fuck up. You're joking. And then all of a sudden, Patriots are all celebrating. Yeah.
You know what? What I will say is when I was younger, when I was 15 years old and it happened at the time, I will say that I was defending that play call just for years, trying to just justify the fact that the Patriots weren't handed a Super Bowl victory. But what I will say, like, look, now that I'm 25 years old, I'm looking back on it. Like, yes, they should have run the ball, but on a quick throw, are we going to pretend that ball was automatically going to be a pick?
No, but
that was also a fantastic play.
Yeah, it could have also just been an incompletion too. It was more. It would have been more of an incompletion than an interception. I just don't think you have Marshawn. It's like with the Eagles, you have Saquon Barkley at the 1 yard line, but you decide not to do the tush, and you decide not to run Saquon. You just try to do a quick pass like that. It just doesn't make sense.
You go against your bread and butter.
Yeah, well, you don't do that.
It seemed like they wanted Russell Wilson to be the Super Bowl hero, not Marshawn Lynch.
Allegedly, this is just speculation, but there was a lot of rumors at the end of Super Bowl 48 that Russ was pissed he didn't get MVP, and I think they wanted to avoid that again, which wouldn't shock me.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, Malcolm Smith balled out.
Oh, yeah, no, he did, but, like, you know, tell that to Russ, not me.
But if that, I haven't looked at the box score from that Super Bowl, but even if he gets that touchdown pass, does he get Super Bowl MVP? I'm just thinking out loud here.
I haven't looked
enough at his stats from that game, but all right.
Adam, before we move on, should we tell can we give our all-time drafts for the Eagles side to
Mike? Right. Let's hear it.
We want to move on.
I want to see
Eagles side.
Yeah, no, just the Eagles side. I want to see who Mike thinks won this one. So for CJ's team, McNabb, LeSean McCoy, T.O., Dallas Goedert. By the way, we're quarterback,
snake
running back.
Draft. It's a snake draft.
Snake draft. First. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, one O-line, one DT, one edge, one linebacker, one corner, one safety.
Okay.
All right. McNabb, Shady, T.O., Goedert. Jason Kelsey, Jerome Brown for his DT, Reggie White as his edge rusher, Jeremiah Trotter for his linebacker, Eric Allen for his cornerback, shout out, just got into the Hall of Fame, Malcolm Jenkins as a safety. Wow. My team, Randall Cunningham, Saquon, which could be potential toss-up because of Brian Westbrook,
right?
DeSean Jackson, Zach Ertz, Jason Peters. I went Fletcher Cox as my DT. Trent Cole as the edge. Benarik as my linebacker.
Good one.
I couldn't think of any other corners for the Eagles, so I went Asante Samuel.
You're a Patriot guy. Patriot guy.
I love Asante Samuel. Yeah, Mr. Pick Six. And Brian Dawkins as my safety.
That's nice. That's a good pick. These are good teams. Good teams.
Yeah.
Who won though?
Who won that? It's a toss. Like, you know, Randall Cunningham, probably, you know, the first ever kind of mobile quarterback that the Eagles had, and kind of what the NFL had. And Don McNabb is a link to that. But Don McNabb, you know, I don't think he couldn't really win those big games. He always threw the ball on the ground. Like, I have a very, if you listen to our podcast, I have a very negative tone towards Donovan McNabb. and so I am not about Don McNabb. So I would have to pick Chris's team with
Randall. Oh, yeah. Let's go.
Because he has got Saquon. You have a running option of Saquon and Randall Cunningham. You can't beat that. You can't beat
Let's
that.
Go.
All right. Sorry, CJ.
No, it's fine.
And also, Chris did mention Westbrook, and Westbrook was one of my favorite Eagles. And so, I'm going to have to go with that, too. Yeah.
Trust me,
have Westbrook. He had.
I know, but he mentioned him. As long as he's in the conversation, I'm good with that.
No, that was a tough pick for me because CJ picked. So, I actually picked the running backs first because we did it by position. But I was like, damn, I want to go Saquon or Westbrook. I really like Shady. I don't know though.
Yeah. No, you can't go wrong with any three of those guys.
Yeah.
All right. Super Bowl prop bets are next. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski podcast for our 5th annual Super Bowl special. I'm Adam Wright, CJ Medeiros, Chris Kostich. Special guest, Mike Wartenby of the Squawking Eagles podcast. And another year, another Super Bowl special, and more Super Bowl prop bets. And like every year, we're going to start off with one of the most common ones, which is the Gatorade bath for the game-winning head coach is always for they always get the Gatorade bath treatment. Jeez, English. So the question is, what everybody's thinking on their minds, what color is the Gatorade going to be? So before I toss it to you guys, I'll give you some odds on what it is. According to BetMGM, apparently yellow / green is -165. That's the lead. That's the highest odds to win. Purple is +300. Orange is +500. Red or pink is +700. Blue is +800. My only problem is purple is it's already been picked. Purple's already gotten it twice in a row.
Oh, wow.
I was going to say that because I had purple last year, too.
And before you think, oh, well, the Chiefs also won twice in a row, so maybe it'll be 3 times in a row and the Chiefs just love purple. Well, in 2022 and 21, blue happened twice in a row. Okay. The Rams and Buccaneers won those. So it wasn't one team with two. And in 2020, the Chiefs had orange. So the Chiefs aren't exclusively purple. And it was blue in 2019. That was the Patriots. 2018 was the Eagles. That was yellow. Mm-hmm. And the Patriots, apparently in 2017, they decided to be the no fun team, and they actually had no Gatorade bath. There was nothing.
Well, that was a weird one because that was overtime, and they're trying to figure out if the touchdown was going to stand or not. So
yeah, Jules didn't think it did originally, and he was saying to Bill like, "No, get all these guys off the field." And Bill's like, "No, they reviewed it, and then they were happy." I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but no one was thinking about a Gatorade bath at that point,
except people who were betting on it.
Yeah, except people that were betting. Yeah.
Like, legitimate question, like, what does happen if that's not the case? Do people just get their money back? How does that work?
I feel like it'd probably depend on the betting service. If it was DraftKings, they probably would have fucked him over. I got some old work buddies that used to work for DraftKings, and they're saying that DraftKings is probably one of the worst betting sites when it comes to that type of thing.
I'm on BetMGM right now, but another interesting stat. So percentage of color on the Gatorade from 2021 through 2024, it's actually orange. It happened five times, 20.8% of the time. So that's something to consider. 16.7% of the time it's been water. 16.7% of the time there's been nothing.
Water.
Clear or water.
Interesting.
Clear or water. What is this? So, water boy? We drink it. H2O. Ew.
So combined in the last 23 years, eight times we've had either nothing or water. And five times we've had orange Gatorade. So, CJ, what's your pick?
Well, considering the fact odds, in my humble opinion, mean absolutely nothing because, you know, it's a shot in the dark. Give me blue. You know, that wonderful light blue. Do you know why? Not because of any empirical evidence, because it is the best Gatorade flavor. And by the way, why is yellow, that lemon lime one, why is that number one? That is disgusting.
It's the original.
What's your favorite Gatorade? Just shame. Condemn you to hell.
Blue, I can only imagine.
I know my pick now.
I can only imagine, like, the players on the sideline, like, they have to drink this warm-ass Gatorade, and, like, it's just a who's who. Like, they see orange, and they're, like, they see a certain color, and they're like, fuck, this is gonna suck.
Yeah. No, see, blue... blue is great. And you know what? Not even just the light blue in general. The dark blue is also really good, too. Those are my top two favorites. But either way, I think it is going to be that light blue. I forget what it's called, but it's just, it's a wonderful flavor, truly. And truly proof that not all is lost is humanity.
For my color, I went purple last year. I think it's going to, I feel like it's just going to depend on who ends up winning it at the end of the day. Like, maybe if the Chiefs win, it's going to be purple again. If the Eagles win, I could see it being orange. Yeah, I'm going to go with orange on this one.
Yeah, I'm right with you, Chris. My favorite Powerade is red, the fruit punch. But since it's not Powerade, it's going to be Gatorade. My favorite Gatorade is orange. So I'm just going to go with orange.
Yeah, I feel like orange is due at this point, right?
Yeah. It's time to shine. It's time to shine.
Yeah.
Now it's happened the most.
Yeah.
So I'm stumped. But looking at the last time orange was picked, that was 2020. The last time before that, it was 2016, 14, 11, 2010. It's almost like it's.
So it's due.
Much
it's due.
I guess it's due.
So it's Adam. So yeah. What you're saying is that it's due.
I've got a question.
Often recently.
Now I've got a question for you. Now the Eagles, you know, they, I don't know if you guys know, they sold snow from the Rams game to fans.
Yeah.
Are the Eagles going out and, you know, if they win the Super Bowl, are they squeegeeing off some of that Gatorade and selling it to the fans?
I won't put it past them.
And are you drinking it after you buy it? Are you drinking it after you buy it? Because
no,
people are eating this stuff.
And I would not drink that. But then again, I know sometimes when people win, they make interesting choices in the heat of passion.
They bought the snow for $50 and they are eating the snow that they bought. People are eating.
Well, wouldn't they be drinking the snow at that point? Because I could imagine it's probably
supposed to keep in the freezer. Well,
freezer, dry ice. That's supposedly SL. They're sending it to everybody. But yeah, squeezing it off the field, sell it, do it.
No, Philly fans handling dry ice. That sounds fun.
I'm going to take yellow. Yellow's the leader in odds. And the last time the Eagles won the Super Bowl, they did, it was yellow. So yep. I'm going to roll with that.
And it was also yellow when they won the NFC Championship, too.
So maybe they just have, like, this one?
Yeah, this last one. Yeah, this last one, it was yellow, too.
All right, so maybe they just found their lucky Gatorade and they're going to go with the same exact one If it ain't broke, don't fix it, as far as the superstition goes. I'm gonna go with yellow. All right. National anthem. Over or under 2 minutes.
Who's doing the national anthem?
Yeah, that's a good question.
John Batiste.
I don't even know who the hell that is.
The wrestler?
John Batiste.
I don't know who that is. So
this is... never heard of him. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna have to look him up now.
So now that nobody, I'll go with the fact that, like, since we don't know who this guy is, and I'm gonna guess probably a majority of Americans not gonna know, he's gonna want as much airtime as possible. So it's definitely gonna be over 2 minutes.
This there's one YouTube video of John Batiste doing the national anthem in 2017. And the video is 2 minutes and 9 seconds.
Boom. There you go. Boom.
I don't know if that's... I'm going to mute my mic and I'm going to do some further research while you guys make your pick.
You're talking 2017. The Eagles won in 2017, technically. So, yeah, I would... It's all lining up. Over 2 minutes.
You know... I'm going to go over two. Here's the thing. It doesn't really matter who's doing it. Every year, how do we have a history on this? Because it feels like every year it goes over 2 minutes, or at least as long as I've been part of the show. And regardless of whether or not you know who this John Batiste feller is, I will tell you that regardless of who you are, you're going to want your moment in the sun, you're gonna want it to be, you know, to take it as much time as possible. So I'm hammering the over.
I'm gonna say he's earned 20 nominations for the Grammys. He's earned 5 awards. So
all right. So we don't listen to a lot of music, I guess then.
We do not.
Or at least whatever he is.
All right. Well, after further review of this 2017 performance, it was from the NBA All-Star Game in 2017. He starts with a 30-second little piano piece, and then he starts singing. So we're talking like an actual minute and a half of him singing, but... that's going to be that weird fine line. When do you actually start the clock? Do you start when he starts singing, or will you start when he starts doing the piano shit?
Is he doing the piano stuff this year, though?
That's the other thing.
Oh, that's a good question, too. Yeah, they're going to wheel a piano out there?
Wait. Hang on.
They wheeled one out for Lady Gaga.
Okay.
If he's not doing the piano, and he's used to filling in the other time, that means he's probably used to doing the singing part quick.
Yeah, true. So I think this could potentially be an under.
You know what? I'm going under. I'm rolling with it.
I think if he's got the piano, it's the over. But if he doesn't have the piano, we're going under.
Yep, that's a caveat. We got to know if that piano is going to be out there or not. He's not Lady Gaga, though. He's not Lady Gaga. So, you know, are they going to do that for him? I don't know.
I'm going to try to do some more research throughout the show and see if we're going to get a piano or not.
All right. In the meantime, we'll move on to our next prop bet. The over-under for overall points scored. 48.5 is the line. I see a lot of scoring in this one. I know both defenses are really good. But I also... This is going to be interesting because both offenses are really good. Both defenses are really good. But how good are the offenses? And this will be interesting. CJ.
This is tough because the Kansas City defense and especially the Philly defense are really good. But Mahomes just turns into a different animal in the playoffs. Like, I remember watching the Bills, it seemed like every play, just somebody was wide open. Like, then again, I might be on the Bills game plan more than anything, because I remember just Kelce just get open again and again. And it's not like he was ever a good route runner. They were just leaving him open. As for Philly, you know, you have that one-man wrecking crew in Saquon, along with arguably one of the best, if not the, probably one of the best receiver duos in the league. And, you know, that Kansas City Chiefs front seven is nasty, but Philly's entire defense, especially the back four, ugh, I don't know. Like, I can see them getting the better of Hopkins and company. So, the either way, I feel Chiefs, you know, you got to factor in how they move down the field. I can definitely see the younger guys like Mitchell getting a bit too handsy early on in the game. Maybe the flag comes out here and there. Philly, if you're Saquon, you just got to like run it right at Chris Jones, you know, like take the fight to them. Because I said this before, the Kansas City Chiefs defense runs on fear. You know, it's like how they're more of a, we'll terrorize you with our game plan with big names. But you, what you got to do is like you have to take the fight to them. Because if you show, hey, I'm not as scared of you, they usually, you can get them back on their heels pretty fast as far as offense goes. So I'm leaning towards over, because even though the Chiefs offense isn't great, they're still going to get their licks in. And, you know, Philly's offense is really high powered. Even though the Kansas City front seven is good, the back four is not. And even though you have Trent McDuffie for Kansas City, he's one guy, which means Devontae Smith is probably going to feast on Jalen Warren or Jalen, whatever his name is there, Jalen Watson, I think that's it, or whoever they have on the other side. So that being said, I'm going with the over. Because I had to like work through it, but overall, I'm going over.
I'm an American and I like points. If you don't like points, you might as well be a fucking communist.
Nice.
Give me the over.
So I can go two different ways here. All right, we just did a Madden 25 simulation and the score ended up being 47-45 in Eagles victory. That was a lot of points. That was a lot of points scored. And then I use this NFL generator and score generator online, and I came up with a score of 34-10. So I'm going to go with the under 48 points. Yeah.
I'm thinking about the way each offense is structured, and both involve a lot of running, which means a lot of time of possession, which means maybe you will have not too much trouble with moving the ball down the field, but it's going to be time consuming, which means you won't have as much time to score points. I'm going to take a very, very slight under. I think both teams make it into the 20s, but only one comes out alive. Well, no shit, but
yeah.
For dramatic the right, effect.
And the right yeah. one comes out. The right one will come out too.
Yeah. Hmm. Certain Grinch-colored team.
Yes.
So we have two communists currently in this room with us.
Oh, well, well, well.
Listen, I am a real American.
My buddy does a model, and he said his model has 27-22 Eagles, which means the over would, in fact, hit.
Yeah.
I hope the over hits. I mean, that would be cool to see a lot of points. And I hope it's a close one. I hope it's not over and it's just like one team scores 50 and the other scores like 3.
If Philly steamroll the Chiefs like 50-3, I think I'm in the Mike school of thought where I think I can live with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Like Super Bowl 48. Super Bowl 48 was the over on this one. Super Bowl 48 was the over. But that was maybe the worst Super Bowl of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. On to our last prop bet, and then we have our next segment. Race to 50 receiving yards. Who gets it first? CJ, go.
I think Devontae Smith. Because I was tempted to go with A.J. Brown, because the Chiefs, you know how they are. They play ball control football. For most of the time, they rely on their defense stifling you early. They get out to a lead and then they just kind of sit on the ball. However, Philly is a high-flying team, a lot of talent. And like I said, I want to circle back to what I said about Trent McDuffie, right? One guy, I don't think he's going to be shadowing Brown, not Smith. So I think I take Smith over Jalen Watson every day of the week.
I'm going to go Dallas Goedert. No insight, no nothing. Just going to go Dallas Goedert.
All right, Mike.
So you guys picked two Eagles. I'm definitely on the boat with Devontae Smith. He's going to be open. They're going to want to take Dallas Goedert out of the game, and they're definitely going to want to keep and contain AJ Brown, because he did have that long touchdown pass 2 years ago in the Super Bowl. He had a great game. So I think Trent McDuffie is going to follow AJ Brown, and I think Devontae is going to be open, and he usually is open. And as long as Jalen can see over the top of that offensive line, he'll get that 50 yards first. So yeah. Devontae Smith gets his first 50.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to pick a non-Eagle here because I think the team that's the most experienced in the Super Bowl is going to come out to a stronger start. Doesn't mean that the other team is going to win. I just think as far as how the offense will run, the Chiefs will have the quickest start because they've been there, done that, literally now at this point for the third time in a row. And this will be the fifth time for a lot of this entire Chiefs core. They've been there. So I'm going to pick a Chief. And that Chief is going to be DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins, the same guy that had less routes and snaps than Juju Smith-Schuster in the AFC Championship.
Against the Bills.
Doesn't mean it won't happen this time. I'm going with DeAndre Hopkins.
Close to what it means, yes.
Let's move on.
All right. DeAndre Hopkins, I'm taking
it. All right.
Okay. Next, we have our food draft. We load our plate. 5 items. We go around the table, pick one. That's next. This is the Fumble Risky Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Risky Podcast. I'm Adam Wright, CJ Medeiros, Chris Kostich, special guest Mike Wartenby of the Squawking Eagles podcast. All right, so our second annual food draft. So this did well last year. We're going to do it again. So the rules, we go around the table. We'll start with me. We'll go CJ. We'll go Chris. Then Mike. And we start again. Not snake, just start again.
I feel like that's the most fair.
Do you want to do snake? All right, we'll do snake. We'll each load our plate. Chris, you have the updates on our banners here. So
yeah,
my plate, CJ's, Chris's, Mike's. All right, ready?
Yep.
All right, let's begin. So I'm going to start off my all-time favorite game food, buffalo wings, with blue cheese. I tried blue cheese once. Now I can't have buffalo wings without them. Give me those two. Absolute elite combo.
For me, I know this isn't high on a lot of people's, but give me ribs, man. If you've never had a game day without chowing down on ribs, then you, my friend, have not lived.
All right, Chris?
I'm going to go with Adam said buffalo wings. I'm going to go buffalo chicken dip.
Buffalo chicken dip. Okay. All right. I could be very Philly in this plate. I'm going to go very Philly here. So I'm going to do a Philly cheesesteak for my first pick. First pick is Philly cheesesteaks.
All right. You better do those.
Have to.
All right. For my next one.
Jeez, for a second one there. Oh, I thought we were going Snake. What the hell?
Oh, yeah. Snake. We didn't do it last year. Sorry. Mike.
Right. Okay, so I guess my next one would be Sliders. Sliders would be my next pick. A combination of a lot of different sliders.
Nice. All right. So for my next one,
Oh, that's not how a snake works, jackass. Well,
Jesus
it's
Christ.
Me next.
Yeah, you're right.
It's my turn. Jesus. It's my turn.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the circle here. I'm looking at going around this square here, and I'm all right, go.
Give me some Mozzie sticks. I'm a whore for them.
Okay. That was a word. Chris? All right.
Yeah.
So for me, well, you took mozzarella sticks from me. Thanks for that, buddy. But I'll see you that and I'll say unto you, what do you know about taquitos, man?
Oh, I just had some last night. Oh.
Mm. See, they're good, yeah?
Taquitos.
Mm-hmm. Right. Beautiful. Just give me that.
All right. Give me some 9-layer dip. I love just loading up. You got the nachos, you got some taco meat, you have some cheese, some sour cream. You can't beat it.
All right, you're up again.
My next pick. All right, let's think. I'm thinking I'm going to go with Doritos. May seem very basic, but they are literally my favorite snack of all time.
Yeah, red nacho cheese or Cool Ranch. Okay.
Right. Nacho cheese.
The purple sweet chili is goated, but that's just me.
Sweet chili is pretty good.
All right. So it's back to me. Go with the old classic. Give me a big old plate of nachos, man. You know, you got the chips. By the way, I have a recommendation. It's a bit underrated as a nacho chip, but use blue corn chips. If you've never had a blue corn chip, I recommend you do it. They are just exquisite.
My next pick. I'll go some queso.
Queso.
Not exactly food, but I've been on a huge queso kick recently.
Yeah, if you have a really good queso, you can't go wrong with queso.
Oh, yeah. At that point, it kind of does turn into a food, though, depending on what you put in the queso.
Exactly. All right, so do I go here? This is my third pick. And we have, what, 5 picks total?
Yeah.
Do I go cheeseburgers here? Do I go cheeseburgers with sliders?
I think that's
Would that be constituted as a slider, though?
I don't think so.
No, they're different, Chris.
They're different.
They're very different.
A cheeseburger and a slider.
Completely different.
They are very different, yes. Very different. A slider is a very small cheeseburger. You can have multiple.
You just said it's a cheeseburger.
Chris. All right. Well, I have a question for you, and I'm going to jump to Mike's defense here. Is a cupcake and a cake the same thing?
It essentially
no.
is.
No. It's really not. A cake and a cupcake are different. They have the same elements, but, you know.
So they're the same thing.
Different. No, not
they are
really.
Very
they're
different.
Really not.
Very different.
My point they is this. Different. If you say right, to someone. Right,
I'm just kidding. I did this to spark something because we talked about it earlier. I am not taking cheeseburgers as my pick.
God damn it, Mike. I thought you were on my side here.
Oh, but I do. Really? They are definitely this different items. They are not the same items.
They're different.
I'm going to go with Philly pretzels with all the fixes with Philly pretzels. Have to.
I can spell pretzels. Jeez.
And so my pick again. So we got 9-layer dips, got queso, salsas. Let's see. I gotta go with. This is a tough choice here. Let's go with some chicken wing, chicken fingers. Chicken fingers.
Oh, I stole mine.
Boom, chicken fingers.
I think you have, did you already do your second one?
That was my second one, yeah.
That was going to be my pick.
Chris is up.
Shit. Where do I go with this one now? Let's start where we start to get kind of into the nitty gritty of it. I'll go. I think one that I'll go like chicken sandwich.
Like a chicken salad sandwich, or just like what is
no, that? Like a chicken sandwich.
I like a Chick-fil-A sandwich kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. I'm kind of running out of ideas now. Trying to remember like other like Super Bowl parties that I've been to where, but like it's
my it's brain. Hard once you get into the once you already pick your top picks, then you're kind of like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You know, for mine, you got ribs, you got nachos, you got taquitos. But the thing is, I mean, you can with taquitos. What about something a little more simple? Something, you know, I mean, taquitos are finger food. What about something, you know, you can dip? You know, like, you know, you could go with fries, but me, I like to go one step beyond. Give me some onion rings, man.
Ooh, good pick.
I love those so much.
A solid pick right there.
Yeah.
Okay. I think my first pick. Ooh, I had it. I'm getting stumped as well because I'm thinking. I think I'm gonna go with shrimp cocktail.
Oh wow!
Any sort of, I'm big on soup on anything seafood, and anytime anyone has shrimp cocktail, I'm right next to the shrimp cocktail doing just
destroying it things. Destroying
yeah messing it up doing ungodly things to it. It is history. I am eradicating it. My second pick is going to be deviled eggs.
Oh
gross. That's gross.
Good. I think that's a good one. That's a good one.
Usually it's a holiday thing. Usually it's a holiday thing.
Usually, but Super Bowl is a holiday, right?
For us. So you know what? Yeah, it's a holiday thing. It's a holiday. We break out the deviled eggs.
It might just be me, but deviled eggs just make me want to puke.
You take it or leave them. You got it. It's true. A lot of people do not like them.
Yeah.
All right.
So. CJ?
This is it for me, obviously. Now, I might go a bit outside the thing here. So, I got ribs, got taquitos, got nachos, got onion rings. Those are great, but, you know, they're very dry. A lot of salt, a lot of grease. You need something to wash it down. What are we drinking, fellas? Come on. Give me some beer.
Whoa. We can't. This is our plate. You don't put beer on a plate.
Right. You can put it next to it.
Food. Beer's already there, bro.
All right. Okay. Beer's already there. I was wondering if we were going to pick drinks. All right. Good.
You know what? We can do whatever we want on our show. Well, after this,
you want to go with drinks?
We're gonna discuss what we're drinking.
Okay, right. Good. I was going to ask you that, too, because I have a few things I need to add to next to my plate.
So here's the thing, right? For my Super Bowl party, perhaps I'm done, right? You know, I'm done with baking the ribs, heating up the taquitos, creating the nachos, frying up the onion rings. But the gang, I got a big party. They're still hungry. I'm getting my phone and I'm ordering a pizza for the boys.
Yeah, that's good.
That's number five.
I was thinking about that one, but I needed to think a little bit more outside the box.
Pizza's
essential, like for everything. Like it's a great party food. It's cheap. It's easy. Good pick.
For my pick, I'm gonna go with some loaded tots.
Loaded maybe tots.
Maybe you sprinkle some shredded cheese on them, throw some bacon bits in there. Maybe you have some sour cream on the side as well. Maybe you don't. Maybe you just have good old ketchup for these tater tots. But yeah, loaded tots for me.
I like tater tots. I just had those for breakfast yesterday. So I'm going to go with a dessert here. We live in, you know, where I live, there's a lot of Amish farmers markets, a lot of Amish country out here. So there's it's like a layered dessert that the Amish make. It's like, it's amazing. So it's more like a, almost like a Boston, it's like almost a Boston cream donut, but it's got like graham crackers and like pudding and like chocolate covering over there. So it's called a, what's it called? It's called like a, it's like a truffle pie, almost a truffle pudding. So I'm going to go with a Amish dessert. Just put Amish dessert on my plate right there.
Nice.
And now we're supposed to talk beverages now. Are we going to talk beverages real quick here? Because
yeah, we'll snake it back over. And then we'll snake it back.
Okay. All right. So, for the Super Bowl, I went and I purchased a Bird Gang bourbon that is made here in Pennsylvania, and so I'm going to be opening that up during the Super Bowl. So I'll have that, but I also have my Surfside iced teas because can't go wrong with a Surfside iced tea, and I got an assortment of beers that are going to be consumed. But yeah, those are my three. Those are my three things that I'm going to be having my beverages for my plate.
Nice.
Hell yeah. I'm just going to go with good old Wonder Boy for me. Good old Coors Banquet.
Oh, can't go wrong with Coors Banquet.
Coors Banquet out of a stubby bottle.
Left him at my house last year at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Mike, we were over at Adams for the Super Bowl last year. I ended up leaving like most of a 12-pack at Adams' house by accident.
It's like, if you want me to finish it, then
yeah, hey,
please.
I don't even know. We might still have some of it too.
If you still have them, then I will be stuck at the camper.
Yeah,
they're probably flat by now.
Refrigerate
them.
As long as they were refrigerated, you're probably okay.
Of course, banquets do not go bad.
Fair.
All right,
TJ.
Now, as far as I go, you could go to the Coors Banquet, you know, your beer assortment. I'm not that fancy. You know what? Just give me an Angry Orchard. I'll be happy. I love those. You know, just Angry Orchards for the gang. It's going to be great. You know, that's basically it. Like, I'm not any fancy. Just, I love them. They're great. And also, so let's just, okay, that's all we're having. Let's just hope nobody underage is at the party. The drinking age should be 18 regardless, but whatever. Go talk to your congressman about it.
Yeah. Listen, we can't do that. That's illegal. We can't distribute.
No, we would never do that, and I would never do that. I just think it's wrong regardless.
Yeah, I think it's wrong. I just, if I leave a 12-pack on the table and I just leave it unattended and just one of my buddies takes it,
yeah, and then that's their fault. But the fact you're held responsible is a gross miscarriage of justice. But anyway, this isn't a politics show.
If I leave something on the table unattended and without my consent, God forbid, one of my friends takes one of my drinks.
Hey, remember, guys.
It's my fault.
We would never do that.
If you get caught.
There's that too.
No. I don't condone this. He's right over there, officer. I didn't do anything. No. You're not
out of your pick.
No, officer. I only had two in dog years. Listen, so I got to go with Sam Adams. I'm from New England, not born and raised. Well, I was raised, but not born.
Where are you Michigan, born? Actually. Michigan. Oh, really?
Yes.
He's State Catch Whitmer's basement. Nice.
Except the exact same area where Derek Jeter was born. So I don't think it was the same hospital. I don't know. But that was his hometown. So, anyways, I'm going to go Sam Adams. Doesn't really matter to me if it's seasonal or just Boston Lager. I just don't care. I take my alcohol as far as, like, I don't have too much of a preference. It's much more so, like, if it's alcoholic, I'll drink it. And it's more so, like, just, like, you drink it for the feeling that you get, not necessarily for the taste. Like, the taste is bonus, but, you know, like, and also, like, obviously, you got to drink, like, you know, responsibly.
Especially, of course, you gotta put that out there. You gotta put that out there.
Yeah, drink responsibly. I'm a social drinker. I like to drink whenever I'm around friends, and I don't have too much of a preference. But when I do, if you're asking me what I want, the bartender's asking me, I'm saying Sam Adams, usually just seasonal. So I'm gonna read off these plates because we made some pretty good picks. We got creative here. It forces us to get creative because combined, like amongst us, 25 foods.
Yeah.
And you have to really think, like, everybody's thinking about wings, everyone's thinking about chips, nachos, buffalo dip. But you really have to think whenever you're picking things that aren't taken yet in a draft. So going over, we'll start with Mike's plate. I'm trying to put it in. All right, there we go.
There you go.
Philly cheesesteak, sliders, Philly pretzels, chicken fingers, Amish dessert. Then for drinks, we got Bird Gang bourbon. Wow, that's a tongue twister.
Bird Gang bourbon.
Surfside iced tea with an assortment of beer.
Yeah, I'm not an alcoholic. I just like to have a little assortment of
Surfside is pretty underrated. I wish more people knew about Surfside, to be honest.
Yeah.
My mom's been trying to sell me on that, but I don't know.
It's good stuff. I know the owner, and so we're trying to get a sponsorship with them this coming year, so we're working on
nice.
That.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be sick.
Yeah. They sponsor my softball team, so might as well sponsor my podcast.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Right.
That has a good ring to it. The Squawking Eagles podcast brought to you.
Yep.
By Surfside Ice Tea.
Yeah.
Where's the ring?
Yeah.
Chris's plate. We have buffalo chicken dip, mozzie sticks, queso, chicken sandwich, loaded tots, and he's drinking Coors Banquet. Stubby ones.
Yeah. Only way to drink those.
Yeah. The golden bullets. Plate.
We got ribs, taquitos. Taquitos is going to be mine. My second pick was going to be taquitos. But high demand. Again, we got to pick. We got to get creative with these. Ribs, taquitos, nachos, onion rings, pizza for the boys. We have to specify that for the boys. Not just for me. It's not just on my plate. I'm forcing it on your plate too. And you're going to like it.
And it's the American way.
Yep.
We are Americans. We are not communists. And then we're drinking an Angry Orchard. Pretty good pick. I like Angry Orchards. If I'm drinking cider, then I'm drinking Angry Orchard.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My plate. I picked buffalo wings. All-time favorite game food. It's going to be on my plate this Sunday, no matter what. If there's no buffalo wings on my plate, then I'm probably not watching the Super Bowl either. Nine-layer dip. Doritos, shrimp cocktail, deviled eggs, and a Sam Adams to drink.
I like the deviled eggs pick was a good pick. I like the deviled eggs. Yeah, I know you don't, Chris. I know you don't, but I like that one.
I feel like if we put this up for a poll on Instagram, the deviled eggs could easily be like the one that makes Adam lose.
You know what we need to do? We need to put this up on our Instagram. And maybe we put it up as a graphic.
Yeah.
Whose wins? Vote below. Oh, that would be so much. I need to figure
out. CJ, make it right now. CJ, make it.
I was going to say, oh, you're going to make it, Adam. Oh, that's something.
I can make some graphics. I don't make much.
Oh, I mean, I know you can. No. I know you can. I'm not saying you can't. It's just I heard I'm going to make it. I'm immediately like, oh boy, a new thing for me to do. Yippee.
CJ, I taught you how to do these graphics, and you have now doubled me in overall talent on how to make graphics. Like you make things like on the fly, and the quality of it is like unmatched. It's unbelievable.
You know, wait, I can make something like if you want me to. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do. We'll talk in the chat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we should definitely. I mean, I'm gonna say my plate's the best.
But, I mean, I think we're all going to say our plates are the best, but yeah.
I like how Mike's. I'll talk about Mike's. I think Mike's is very like it's very when in Rome. It's very Philly based.
Very Philly based.
That's great. I love that. And I would pick a lobster roll, but they're a little expensive. Clam chowder, dude. It's all seafood around here.
Yeah, a lot of seafood.
I'll wash it down at the water bubbler. All right. Next, we're going on to our Super Bowl picks. Final picks, predictions for the game. We'll do scores, too. That's all next. This is Fumblerooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumblerooski Podcast for our 5th annual Super Bowl special. Adam Wright, CJ Medeiros, Chris Kostich, Mike Wartenby of the Squawking Eagles Podcast. Did you guys have fun that last segment?
I had a great time.
Oh, I certainly
did.
It was much better than we did it last year. Last year, we kind of put it together and we're like, let's see how this goes. Also, I was hosting and doing the graphics at the same time. Mm-hmm. That was a nightmare. While trying to think about what food I'm going to put on my plate. Oh, boy. That was something. While we're on the – right before we get to Super Bowl picks, I'm not saying I would drink Busch, but their old commercials are something else. Like, they just have cool shit. Like, there's nothing that they have that says drink my beer. Just mountains, an owl is in there. Just cracking open it's Bush propaganda, man.
You would never drink a Bush Light.
I'm not saying that it's my first choice. I'm not just like, ooh, Bush.
Right.
I'm just saying, listen.
I know. Adam sent me some Bush propaganda.
Yeah, I sent you a reel during the show. Yeah. And I was like,
no, I saw it. I was like, oh yeah, Bush propaganda, neat.
Originally, the Bush family wanted to name their stadium Budweiser Stadium, but the MLB didn't want to do it because it was, you know, they weren't using, I guess, product names to resemble stadiums at that moment in time. And so they named it Bush Stadium because there was no Bush beer. And then the Bush family said, will you go please make a Bush beer? Because now we're going to have that as a Bush beer now. That was the reason why there's a Bush beer now.
Like, look at this. This is actually amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like the mountains. The mountains of Missouri. Yeah. Yeah, it's Bush.
That's amazing. That is amazing. All right. Let's get on to our Super Bowl picks. Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans, the Superdome. The Chiefs and the Eagles. For the second time in 3 years, obviously on popular demand. CJ, start off. So I want 3 things. Give me who wins. Give me a score. Give me your MVP.
No pressure or anything. I just, oh my Lord.
It's not really that much pressure. It really should just be a very easy pick for you to do that right now. Easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
I want Philly to win, but I'm just numb to this, and I think it's going to be Kansas City. Because, well, I'm sorry, you don't bet against Mahomes. You just don't. And also, I've been kind of coy about this, but I can't anymore. The league will not let him lose. And I genuinely believe Philly's going to be up by 2 scores late in the game, and then every time they breathe, it's just flag, flag, flag. Like, I'm definitely expecting phantom calls. And that the only way to beat Kansas City is that you got to play clean. You do not leave anything in the hands of the refs. these 50-50 calls go the Chiefs' way literally every time. Like, they literally, like, Josh Allen got a first down, and they just said, no. But don't get me wrong, Buffalo kind of self-destructed again, but you know, regardless, right? I mean, heck, look back at week two. You know, there's that phantom PI call. Like, there's just all this stuff where they willingly ignored a Raiders false start so that the Chiefs could win the game. They Chiefs blocked a field goal against Denver and missed a blatant offsides. Like, you know, it's just at this point, I'm just accepted it because, you know, Travis is going to propose to his boyfriend, Taylor Swift. And, you know, and then, you know, they're going to like, oh, look at this. But yeah, no, I'm sorry, Mike. I want Philly to win. I do. And I will be, even though I'm not an Eagles fan, I would be the happiest camper if Kansas City lost, but I digress. The MVP is probably going to be Mahomes. I don't think he's going to have that great of a game, but he's still going to be the MVP. And as for a score prediction, it's probably going to be like 31-30 or something like ridiculously close where they just like, you know, like I said, Philly's going to be up by two scores and then flag, and then KC gets back in the game.
Chris, oh, also, did you pick your, I'm sorry, did you pick your MVP?
Yeah, probably Mahomes. Or you know what, watch Philly win and the league still decides to give it to Mahomes because, like, the loser can still get an MVP. It happened once, I think, with, like, the Steelers or something, like, back in the day.
Yeah, we're talking once in a blue moon, so I highly doubt that's going to happen. But anyways, it's a repeat matchup of the Super Bowl. So I wanted to look at the history of repeat matchups in the Super Bowl. And more often than not, does the team that won the first time around wins the second time around. The only time that didn't happen was the third rendition of the Steelers and Cowboys in 1995 for Super Bowl 30, when the Cowboys beat the Steelers to cap off the dynasty in the 90s for the Cowboys. The Dolphins and the Commanders, then the Redskins, they met twice in the Super Bowl. The Redskins got them the second time around. Cincy and the Niners beat them both times. Cowboys and the Bills, Cowboys won both times. Giants won both times. Rams, Patriots won both times. Patriots, Eagles, Patriots won the first time, Eagles won the second time. Chiefs, Niners last year, KC winning both times. So really, you're only talking about 2-3 teams that won in the rematch. One of them being the Eagles. Can history repeat itself again? Yes. Eagles are winning. My money's on the Chiefs. If it's a one-score game going into the fourth quarter, the Chiefs are going to win, unfortunately. But Adam, that's my...
Who are you picking? You're saying if it's a one score, then you can't... none of these half measures. Just go all in.
I live in a half measure. I'm going to Eagles, but I'm still putting my money on the Chiefs. I'm just in case. Just in case they do happen to win, I'll win some money, but I'm also going to take the fall for everyone and bet the Chiefs so the Chiefs can fucking lose.
Thanks, Chris.
There's a lot of things going, like Chris was saying, how like the usually the team that's coming back and facing the same team they lost to, they're going to lose. But like I said, the Eagles did overcome and beat the Patriots. Jalen Hurts is making, after losing his first appearance in the Super Bowl, he broke a record of 19 appearances. So he broke a record of coming back to Super Bowl after losing his first one. The Eagles are going back to New Orleans where they lost their first Super Bowl. Okay, so they, in 1980, they lost to the Raiders in New Orleans. So they're going back. So this is another opportunity to defend that and to change that history. And it's also Saquon Barkley and Cooper DeJean's birthday on Sunday. So the Eagles do not want to ruin that birthday celebration for those two guys. The Eagles are definitely are winning this game. They are the better team. They are the more... They're more talented team at this point. The Chiefs are a good team. They find ways to win, but they are not going to find a way to win. Even with the referees on their side, they are not going to find a way to win. And I see a score, like I said earlier, I see a score of 34-10 with Jalen Hurts being our MVP.
I just hope that the Eagles don't do what every other team does and it comes down to a big time play and the Eagles decide to run a play that leaves it up to the refs. Because if that happens, then they're going to lose.
I agree. Yeah, they can't do that. And the Eagles this year have not really been doing that. They haven't let the referees been part of the game that way because they just been had a big enough lead to do that. So I think they're going to keep the game clean. They're not going to have any turnovers, and they're going to win this game.
It's like the crowd. It's like a home crowd. Take the home crowd out of the game.
Yep.
This is a very similar situation than as it was 2 years ago. And it's a very similar situation to last year as well. The most talented team, it was the team on the other sideline. That was the team that wasn't the Chiefs. The team that won was the team with the better quarterback. And if there's anything that I know about Steve Spagnuolo, it's that he is very good at forcing you to play left-handed. What he tries to do is he takes your bread and butter and he takes it away from you. I think Spagnuolo is going to be very focused on taking away the running game, at least limiting it. That's what they did with the 49ers last year. They're going to limit the run game, and they're going to force Jalen Hurts to throw the football. I'm not saying Jalen Hurts is a bad thrower of the football, but is he better than Patrick Mahomes at throwing the football? Mahomes versus Hurts, as far as arm talent, is a really, really bad matchup for Philly. I'm going to roll with the Chiefs.
Panel here. It's a split panel right there.
Yeah.
I looked at this as a toss-up. And so I'm not done with my prediction since I have to give a score. I'm going to go 24-21. I think it's going to be very close. The Eagles will have a shot to win this game. In fact, they may even lead at one point or another in this game. They may be leading late. But I think the Chiefs, they've been there. They've done that. They still have a very competent team. They may not be talented around, but their coaching is as good as it's ever been. Their quarterback is still in his prime, despite having a very down year. I think a lot of it has to do with his supporting cast. Offensive line is still, it's solid, it's okay. Much better on the interior as it is on the edges. Pass catching is probably has to be the worst that he's ever had. So looking at that, I think Patrick Mahomes is still a great quarterback, and I think that's going to be what puts him over the top. And it's going to become a game of Jalen Hurts versus Patrick Mahomes as far as throwing the football. Spagnuolo is going to take away the running game, at least limit it. So, 24-21. As far as a Super Bowl MVP, I'm going to go with Travis Kelce. I feel like, as I've mentioned, this game is going to be a little more of a rock fight. It's not to say that they'll be bad, but I think one receiver or pass catcher is going to get some yards. It's going to be kind of like Super Bowl 53, where no one was really great, but Julian Edelman had over 100 yards, and that's what's going to do.
Okay. All right.
My Super Bowl MVP is Saquon Barkley.
Oh yeah, right. Saquon, you didn't say Barkley. That. Yes. Good. That's a good choice.
If they can't limit the running game, then the Eagles win. I will fully concede that. And I'm just saying that
the Chiefs haven't let up 100 yards rushing all season. Is that a thing? So
yeah, but Saquon
is not the same as everybody else.
Yeah, but there was I just saved a post last night before I went to bed too, and I'm trying to find it, and Instagram's not loading. Here it is. Saquon Barkley against the top run defenses in the NFL. Week one against the Packers, 109 yards and two touchdowns. Packers are seventh in the NFL this year. Buccaneers, fourth, 84 rushing yards back in week four. Week 13 against the Ravens, top rushing unit in the league, 107 yards, one touchdown. Versus the Steelers, six in the NFL, week 15, 65 yards. And then against the Packers in the wild card round, 119 yards.
Yeah, that Steelers game, they focused more on passing because that week before they were complaining how they couldn't pass the ball, so they decided to pass more of that game.
I do remember you saying that.
The only thing that I'll say is look at last season. The Chiefs last year had a very middle-of-the-pack rushing defense. They were not that good of a rushing defense, where they were top one in, top two in, was passing defense and total pressure. They were really good at getting pressure on, putting pressure on the quarterback and in their secondary passing defense, but they were very, very middle of the pack. And they managed to somewhat contain Christian McCaffrey. He was very inefficient in that game, if you remember.
Yeah.
This run defense is a lot better. So I just know that Spagnuolo has the potential to be able to lock down a running back if he really needs to. And if he does that again, then I'm calling a Chiefs victory.
Yeah. Also, I think they actually I changed my mind. They led up 109 yards to James Cook in the AFC Championship game. So I think there's something with that too.
Also, it's worth noting, I want to fact check Adam here. Did they do that? Yeah, but you have to remember the 49ers did not have a good offensive line, at least not as good as what the Eagle does. See, that's what Spagnuolo does. He's very good at analyzing weaknesses, and he's good at exploiting that. And a lot of times, it's basically just throwing your weight around with a team that's maybe not as good. At least, especially in that asset, and that's, or I mean, in that scenario, that's basically like what he does, one of his big assets. But the thing is, they haven't faced an O-line, at least not with this team, like Philly this season, you know?
Yeah.
So cool. You're beating up on Daniel Brunskill and Lakin Tomlinson. All right. Here's Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata.
Yeah, they have a good offensive line.
Also, wasn't CMC banged up?
I don't think he was banged up.
He might have been. The way he might have been.
I thought he was. Well, either way, I'd keep going.
Yeah.
Listen, Christian McCaffrey didn't have an issue all season long with the offensive line they had. I wouldn't say they had the 49ers didn't have a bad offensive line, but it certainly wasn't the force that it was for past seasons before that.
Yeah.
McCaffrey didn't have an issue before. This is a better offensive line. I just trust Steve Spagnuolo to be able to do what he needs to do. And he knows what Philly's going to do. They're going to try to run the ball a lot. And he's going to force Jalen Hurts to try and beat you. It's not that Jalen Hurts can't beat other quarterbacks, but can he beat Patrick Mahomes doing it and do it in the postseason? That's going to be a massive question, and a question that I would answer tilting to Kansas City's sideline. So that's overall, I still think it's a toss-up. I still think the Eagles have a good chance at winning, but I just trust the Chiefs coaching. I trust Patrick Mahomes. Those are the two factors that put me over the top for the Chiefs, and they were at a disadvantage in talent in the last two Super Bowl victories that they've had, and they were able to overcome it because they had the advantage in those two categories. So that's my overall prediction there.
It's really going to come down to who's the most prepared at this point. And you know that the Chiefs are probably one of the most prepared teams that you'll ever see. So
yeah, it's just hard to bet against them.
Can the Eagles match that?
It's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. It's getting to that point where it's like, like what they used to say about Tom Brady, the one guy that in sports you don't bet against. Well, now there's two. Now there might be two. So it sucks to say, and it does suck, but, you know, respects to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a good organization. They've drafted Andy Reid, knows his players. He knows how to coach. He's he knows what he's doing. So I think, though, like this whole three-peat thing is, you know, will come into a play. And I Jalen Hurts looks different and more focused and more engaged of what's ahead of him. Like before, the first time, he was very, you can see like pictures, like very jovial, very smiley. Now today, this year, very much focused, very much like stoic, ready to go. He's not letting the spotlight blind him by what's going on here. So I think you're going to see a different Jalen Hurts. And you know, he played very well in that last Super Bowl against 2 years ago. You know, one fumble. I'm not even talking about the penalty. It's the fumble. That one fumble changes the whole game. Mm-hmm. So if we don't see a fumble like that, I think we're going to be climbing some street poles.
You better grease them up, and yeah. you also better ship AJ Brown.
Oh, they'll find a way.
I heard about that.
I'll give you a deal. You win this Super Bowl, we get AJ Brown. We'll work out the trade.
Right. Okay. We'll do it.
Send it to Howie. The first rounder that we trade in order to, or the second, third, whatever they get to get your next guy, and then you get younger. We get. It's our turn.
Got it.
All right. That's all the scheduled content that we have for today. But do we have anything else?
No, I'm good.
No, just enjoy the game. Enjoy the game. Have fun. And let the best team win, really. Let the best team win.
Yeah.
Which is the best team win. Which is the Eagles.
I hope.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope my pick is wrong.
Yeah, I just know it's just like, I guarantee you there's going to be at least one controversial call. Like, there's going to be one, and we all know which team is going to be in favor of. There's just going to be one, probably in the fourth quarter, where it's just going to be like, okay, come on.
Yeah, I don't want it to be close. I don't like.
I don't either.
I don't
because want to be close. Always win one score games. But I'll leave with this: when you have people like Adam Schefter saying something's not right, all I'm going to say is, where there's smoke, there's fire. And if you disagree, you're wrong, because Adam Schefter disagrees with you.
Right. You know, the Eagles players are battling some sort of flu illness this week. You know, they're saying that, you know, I don't hear anything from the Kansas City Chiefs side that no one's sick over there. So it's like, what is, you know, why is that happening? What is going on with that? And so, you know, these little things that are popping up that would make why are the Chiefs pretty healthy? And the Eagles, they've been doing all the same things. They've been talking to the same people. So, a lot of people conspiracy theories or not. I don't like – the referees have come out and said 195 referees are not conspiring to help one team. And I have to believe that. Like, it might look like it, but I can't see 195 people wanting to to help one team win. And because what do they have to gain? Like, referees, are they really gaining? What are they gaining from it? No one knows.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're probably getting paid.
I don't know. It would be such a if it would ever came out that was true and that they were getting paid, we may never see professional sports ever again. It would look like basketball. Like, we basically be like that.
But yeah, no. Like, I get
what a movie. What a movie.
I'm trying to say it's rigged. It's just like, all I'm gonna say is, when you have like league people like Adam Schefter among others that are saying like. I mean, the thing is, I wouldn't have had this view until voices around the league started like saying something isn't right. That's the thing. You have somebody as like well-established as him coming out and saying like, what the hell's going on?
Like, what was he referencing though? What was he referencing?
Ah, hell, it was a, hold on. It was basically like the, hold on. Sorry. I remember like he said something. Now I need to look at it. Sorry about that.
No worries. Yeah, because a lot of these times, these guys will say things like Nick Wright, like, Nick Wright.
Well, he's not like an insider. He's just a greasy little man.
Nick Wright is also just a massive Chiefs fan too.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. I can't stand the
guy. He loves Mahomes. He loves LeBron. Oh, yeah. Schefter basically had to walk back a tweet he made. It said about like how they were getting calls and stuff. But yeah, basically.
Yeah, they, you know, they are addressing it. I think a lot more people are aware of the oddity that how the Chiefs are favored. But I think this, it's not going to come down to the referees. It can't. It last Super Bowl against the Eagles, the Chiefs, it did. It can't happen. This it can't.
Yeah, just let them play. Just let the boys play ball.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Listen. You hear about it from the best team all the time. Like, I remember people talking about the Golden State Warriors and screw the Golden State refs, the Patriots. It's always the best team, and we just don't hear about it when a bad call screws the Patriots or the Chiefs because no one cares.
I could think of two in the Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl that still make me tear my hair out.
Corey Clement, that touchdown was not a touchdown. That ball was moving.
The ball was moving, and his foot was on the line.
Doesn't even matter. He only got one foot down anyway.
It was out of bounds.
Zach Ertz was a touchdown.
Okay.
Zach Ertz was a touchdown.
He established himself. What? Zach Ertz established himself as a runner. He made the catch, and then he was running for a little while.
Mm-hmm. And he ended up with the ball in his hands in the end zone.
Yeah, he did. The ball didn't touch the ground. That was like a catch.
That was a catch. But
so the Corey Clement, yeah.
Yeah, that was.
Foot on the line, ball bobbling. I can't believe that they let that stand.
Probably because they also want to avoid something. If they said no, then people would have just been like, oh, the Patriots got help again, which.
But you also can't not blame coaching on that one. And I look at the defensive side of the ball. I look at the fact that your defensive backfield, cornerbacks, you had Stephon Gilmore, then you had a bunch of pieces of crap.
You also benched Malcolm Butler.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You had Stephon Gilmore and a bunch of pieces of crap. You benched out Malcolm Butler, your number two corner. Jonathan Jones got hurt the game prior. They were throwing everywhere where Stephon Gilmore wasn't.
Yeah.
You do realize I don't want to get into this debate, but all I'm going to say is I don't know how much of a difference it makes because Butler was having a down year. And Butler couldn't cover anybody taller than him. And the entire year, they were picking on him. Teams went out of their way to target him. Like, I'm just saying, like, and Philly would have done the same. Because if he was on Alshon Jeffrey or Nelson Agholor, people that are much taller than him, he just would get mossed every play. Because it happened the entire season. And don't you come to me with this nonsense about, it totally would have been different. Butler, who was getting literally bullied the entire year, it would have changed in the Super Bowl. Trust me, bro. Like, I'm sorry. I don't believe that.
I don't think it was as bad as you're saying. Malcolm Butler is still – he may have had a down year, but he had some games where
teams were literally targeting him.
Well, so what was the difference between that year and 2016, 2015, where he was actually a really good corner? He was a number one. What's the difference?
He was still is he was playing like shit. Are you blind? More touchdowns given up, fewer tackles. Like, what do you want?
I think it's a confidence issue. Instead of paying Malcolm Butler what he deserved, they went and they paid Stephon Gilmore.
Then Butler went to Tennessee and look at how he turned out there.
Okay, and?
Yeah, he's garbage. That's why they didn't pay him.
Tennessee is a worse spot.
What do you mean, okay, and? He would have been terrible literally anywhere else. It's like with J.C. Jackson. New England's the only reason why he was good. And all I'm going to say is Gilmore literally won defensive player of the year.
How much of a difference is he from Eric Rowe? How much of a difference is he from Eric Rowe?
A thousand times different.
Eric Rowe actually sucks. Like, he's actual garbage. I will take Malcolm Butler even on a down year with the off chance that
he was better, but like I don't think New England wins if they still put in Butler though. That's the thing. They probably don't.
I'd take one of you guys over Eric Rowe.
Some of those throws that Nick Foles made, some of those deep balls on Alshon Jeffrey with Eric Rowe on him. if even one of those is incomplete, we have a different ballgame here. The Corey Clement touchdown may be different. Where Malcolm Butler succeeded was not obviously not his height, but once the contact is made and he's trying to bring it down, Malcolm Butler was relentless. He would slap it away. He would try to do everything he possibly could.
You mean the very thing that he struggled with the entire season? Oh, okay, cool.
It was his bread and butter, was contact.
Not in 2017, it wasn't.
Was physicality. But even in the off chance that he finds his own form, even if it's not if it's not working with Eric Rowe, you bring Malcolm Butler back in that game.
No. I agree. I do. Like, I'm not saying like it wasn't BS. It's just like there's this narrative that New England wins, they put in Butler. I just think it's a little more complex than that.
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. We'll never know. But I think it would have made a big difference. Because
everything aside, whether or not Malcolm they would have won, like, I do have a legitimate question. Do we, like, ever find out why it happened?
I was going to ask you that. Yeah.
Malcolm Butler was just on
Felger and Mass and was like, yeah, I've just come to grips that it happened. I don't want to talk about it anymore. So.
Wow.
And he just straight up said it was a coaching decision, and that was it.
Bill's not going to say, Butler's not going to say. Those are like the only two people that definitively know. Maybe Patricia. It's just like, look, whether or not we think would have won, that's irrelevant at this point. It's just like, it just pisses me off that we don't know why.
You might find out, but not anytime soon. Yeah. I don't think.
Listen, it'll probably be in like 40 years.
You know, Bill was a real disciplinarian, and that leads me to believe Butler did something.
Eric Rowe were both undersized. The difference with Malcolm Butler and why he was able to overcome his differences, to overcome that sort of difference.
All right, let's wrap this up. I don't want to talk about Malcolm Butler anymore.
All I'm going to say is he totally did something, though. Like, but maybe. You still don't bench him.
Maybe. Only difference is on some of those catches, he knocks a few out because he's physical. He's relentless. He's a pest. He's the undrafted free agent who has something to prove. And he had a down year, but I think it would have made a difference. All right. That's it for today's Super Bowl special. 5th annual. Thank you for coming, Mike.
Thank you.
Guys, go and check out the Squawking Eagles podcast, All Things Eagles. That'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for listening to us. We have new episodes out on Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Also, be sure to follow our Instagram at FumbleRooski_podcast to keep up with our podcast and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Over and out.